and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast for Autosport and Motorsport Network. I am your host, Lewis Duncan, and joining me, as ever, is Oriol Puigdemont. And on this week's podcast, we'll be talking about Francesco Bagnaia and his new Ducati MotoGP deal, the first sort of big MotoGP deal to be signed for 2023. One that was not unexpected, Yuri, but one that has finally been announced today, Monday, the 21st of February, so a couple of weeks before the new season starts.
Yeah, I think we all were expecting this news. We actually wrote a story, I think it was 2 weeks ago, saying that the deal was just, I mean, it was just missing the final details, but because of both parts were agree on keep, on renew the contract, so it was easy. Pecco has gets a better contract in terms of money, in terms of conditions, and also Ducati still has a title contender on paper, and it's one of the best options on the market at the moment. So I think, yeah, in this case, all of the parties are happy.
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen in the past few years that contracts for riders have been signed earlier and earlier, and Ducati have been quite clever in the fact that they knew Pecco was going to be probably looked at by some other manufacturers, and there was no point to waste time and getting a deal done. They're happy with him. Like you say, he is expected to be a championship contender. He has very much over the last season molded into a very complete MotoGP rider.
Yeah, and don't forget that now he is in a Ducati, which is on paper, let's see when the season starts, but on paper is one of the most competitive bikes there. At least we all will agree that it was the most competitive bike on the grid, so there was no point on not keep together.
Yeah, and not just the bike. I think it's really the combination of bike and rider, because we know from speaking to Ducati and from what other Ducati riders have said, it's the riding style of Pecco that is really matched with the Ducati in many ways. And I don't want to blow this out of proportion, but it almost feels a little bit like when Stoner was at Ducati, that riding style and the bike matches very much. It seems kind of like that.
Yeah, and don't forget that Ducati has been working on trying to get more corner speed. So, and he was one of the riders with more Moto2 riding style. So I think, with the time, with the races, Ducati has been following more his way.
Yeah, which is interesting when you consider, of course, they have people like Jack and Zarco who are much more experienced than Pecco. But it I guess it goes back to their new sort of push for young talent and why they did that to begin with.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Ducati has been working a lot on this bike. We have to wait and see what this Desmosedic CGP 22 will bring us, because there are still some doubts about this one. But I think that they have pointed out on Pecco on being the main weapon for Ducati to try to fight again for the championship, because don't forget that Pecco was fighting. I mean, we, at least myself, I was not expecting him to be that competitive the second part of the season, because in the first part of the season, he was not that sharp. But after his first win, it all came together and he was the most competitive guy the second part of the season last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, we spoke about in a podcast last week the problems with the new Ducati seem to be about trying to just make it a bit more smoother on acceleration. But we'll find out when we get to Qatar if they've sorted that. I mean, looking at the wider sort of Ducati kind of stable, Pecco was obviously a foregone conclusion to get signed up. The real question mark now hangs over his teammate for 2023. Currently is Jack Miller, but We know that Enea Bastianini, Jorge Martin are options for Ducati, and I think we've both spoken to Paolo Ciabatti from Ducati over the past sort of month or so, and he said the same thing, that they need to see more consistency from Jack. But unsurprisingly, he also said that given how competitive Ducati packages are now and the fact that Pramac have factory bikes, it wouldn't be a problem to rotate some riders. So that suggests that moving Jack back to Pramac isn't off the table.
I asked him that straight away, and he told me that it is not off the table, but it would be a bit weird. It would be a bit strange, because it's not really common than when you come. I mean, doing the opposite way is not the things that a rider wanna do.
It's true. It would be strange, but we do need to see. I think the big thing from Jack is more consistency. We know he's quick, but it's too up and down the form, and it always has been, which I think is the big problem. And with the fact that Bastianini will be strong, the fact that Jorge Martin will be strong, we've been joined by a special guest on the podcast there, Yuri. But yeah, it's we need to see more there from Jack this season for sure.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, he needs to be a new Jack. We are all expecting a new Jack, because he's not been really consistent. I mean, the lack of consistency has been his main problem during all his career. I mean, you know, we know that he's super fast, but the problem is that he's not solid or consistent enough to fight for a title in normal conditions. So, and that's his main, let's say, weakness. So I don't see how. I think it all will depend on how Martin and Bastianini will perform. If they reach this consistency, it will be very difficult for Jack to keep the seat.
Yeah, I agree. What we do know about Ducati going forward is that they are not going to be looking at outside riders. It will be all of their own riders that they will look at for seats. So that obviously, looking at the wider rider market, means people like Joan Mir, people like Fabio Quartararo, who have been linked to moves away and have talked about being unhappy. Their options are, as you've written before, with a great feature you did earlier this year, that their options are quite limited.
I think that the best options for them is to stay with their teams. And I think that also the teams are aware about that and know about that, because, I mean, Yamaha needs Fabio, but no other team needs Fabio, unfortunately for him. So, and Suzuki needs Joan, but no other team needs Joan. We were talking about Honda. It has been written a lot of times now, because Honda has its number one, which is Mark. And for the team, having Paul is really, really, really convenient, because especially if we have a new version of Paul, more competitive, like the one we've seen over this preseason. So if the bikes fits him, he will be fast, definitely. And that's what they need. I mean, somebody being able to be closer to Mark. So there's no point, I mean, to think, at least in my opinion, I can be wrong, but it would be I would be very surprised if somebody makes a gamble and makes a huge offer to Joan or Fabio, especially because they don't need them. I mean, there's no need for Honda to pay. I mean, I don't know, Fabio will probably sign if the offer from Yamaha will be around 7 million. I mean, what's the point for Honda to pay 7 million if their main contender is Mark? So I don't see that really happening.
And the problem Honda has as well, that any new rider they sign probably is going to have to take time to adjust to the new bike. You know, it took Paul a year. You know, Fabio and Joan have been riding very, very different bikes. So the Honda, it would be a long, long process, which Honda can't really afford anymore.
I think that Honda at the moment is looking more in the future, more into the young talents. And of course, they love Pedro Acosta, especially what we have seen from him in these tests. That are ongoing at the moment. He's been super fast, so Honda keeps an eye on him, and that would be a really good option if he keeps growing as fast as he has done in the last season. That would be a really, really, really good option for them. I would say that the most reasonable move would be to sign Paul 1 year and to try to convince Acosta to sign for Honda for 2024.
This is going to be the most interesting, I think, battleground of the rider market, is what happens with Pedro Acosta, the 2021 Moto3 champion, already, as you say, very, very strong on the Moto2 bike and testing at Portimao. And we know he has a long-term contract with KTM that will be 2 years in Moto2. And we believe at the end of 2024, there is an option to go to MotoGP with KTM. We know how KTM operates with its own young talent, and Honda and KTM will probably... Honda and KTM don't like each other in general. So the fact they're going to be fighting over a KTM young star, but Honda sees him as probably the heir to Marc Marquez's throne, that's going to be a very, very interesting kind of clash.
Well, that's how I see it. I mean, Honda would only go for a talent like Acosta. In a way, as you said, is the next one. At least at the moment, he looks like the next one. So we've seen some similarities between him and Mark when Mark was super young. So it wouldn't surprise me if Honda tries to hook him.
Of course, the problem there is KTM, and I suspect KTM will be working quite hard to weave its web of contracts, like it has done with people like Raul Fernandez.
Yes, but the thing, don't forget that the things are cooking now at the moment. I mean, even now. I mean, before, in 2 years' time, I mean, there are a lot of talks, and all the parts involved are in talks, because Acosta is something different. It's something different. So and everybody knows and sees that. Even Honda. So, and don't forget that in 2 years' time, Mark will be 31 or 32. So it will be maybe a good timing to try to keep them both together for 1 year, and then let's see what the future brings.
We know in the rider market and in general that salaries are not as big as they used to be because of the pandemic and such. Do you see Acosta being the next kind of rider to get a very, very big, like for a manufacturer to put big money down for him?
Well, I wouldn't say so the first year, because I mean the first year in MotoGP is a big one. But like even Mark didn't sign his biggest contract after being champion in 2013. Then he signed the big one. I think it was in 2015 when he renewed the contract. So that's when you make the, and then when you become a superstar. But first, you need to deliver. You need to show that that you are one of those who deserve this kind of contract.
Yeah. Of course, all the excitement is around Acosta, but we can't forget he is only 17 right now, and this is only going to be his second year in Grand Prix racing. So I suppose we don't need to get too far ahead of ourselves just yet.
Yuri. But again, I mean, I just want to make clear that everybody knows and everybody sees that this guy is different, has something different.
Yeah.
So like everybody there is, see that on Mark.
Yeah, I think we've all been waiting for that. When's the next kind of the big one, the alien going to come? You know, we had Casey, we had Mark.
Yeah.
It seems like it is Pedro now.
Yeah, and don't forget that, I mean, Moto2 is a super competitive class at the moment. So being champion, how he was in Moto3, and I mean, we are not in the season yet, but seeing what we have seen in this preseason and thinking on what is going to happen this year, I mean, we all can see that this guy has something different.
Absolutely. I wouldn't be surprised if we go to Qatar and Pedro Acosta wins that Grand Prix on his Moto2 debut.
Me either.
It would not surprise me one bit.
Me either.
on that note, Yuri, I appreciate you joining us. I know it's quite late at night over there. Thank you very much for your company, as always. And enjoy the next week, because as of next week, things get very, very busy for us.
Yeah.
I will see you in Qatar, hopefully. And if you enjoyed the rest of our podcasts, you can go and listen to them on all of your podcast platforms. And of course, follow Autosport and motorsport.com for all of your MotoGP news and features and such. Like we said, next week is the start of the 2022 season, so we will be back then to discuss all things Qatar. But until then, it's a very warm goodbye.